Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we've got a really heavy one for you.
We really do. It's a massive topic.
Yeah. We are looking at a conflict that is currently redefining the entire tech industry right now. I mean, here we are, it's February 2026, and the wildest thing is
This isn't a war being fought with, press releases or marketing campaigns.
No, it's much quieter than that.
And honestly, much more dangerous for the companies involved.
It is. It's a battle happening on a nanometer scale. We are talking about the physical silicon that actually powers artificial intelligence.
Right. It is arguably the most expensive industrial battle in modern history. If you look at where we are right now, early 2026, the world is in the grip of this insatiable thirst for AI compute power.
Everyone needs it.
Everyone needs it. There isn't enough of it.
Yeah.
And the cost is astronomical. It's a genuine crisis.
And inside this crisis, you have two absolute titans locked in combat. In one corner, you have the current undisputed dictator of the market, NVIDIA. And in the other corner, you have the challenger, Google. And Google is attempting to fundamentally alter the physics and the economics of how we build AI.
Yeah, we call this silicon warfare.
So our mission today is to unpack this warfare for you. We're going to look at why Google is trying to break NVIDIA's monopoly. We're going to explain the difference between a GPU and a TPU.
Which is a crucial distinction.
Right, and why that distinction actually matters for your electricity bill. And we're going to see how a war chest of over $100 billion might change everything about how AI is built forever.
It's a fascinating story because it's not just about business. It's about engineering architecture. It's about the actual plumbing of the future of intelligence.
Let's start with the landscape. To understand why this war is happening, we have to look at the battlefield as it stands right now, or at least how it stood before things started getting really heated.
Right.
NVIDIA is the king here.
The absolute ruler. Under CEO Jensen Huang, NVIDIA saw the AI wave coming before almost anyone else. They positioned themselves perfectly. If you look at their hardware families, the A100, the H100, and now the Blackwell architecture, they are the gold standard.
And being the gold standard pays well. I was reading through the source material, and the numbers are just staggering. We're talking about profit margins that are legendary in the hardware space.
Oh, easily. Sometimes exceeding 75% net profit.
75% for hardware.
I know.
That sounds more like a software margin. Usually, when you sell a physical thing, your margins are razor thin.
Well, that's the power of a monopoly. And that's why industry insiders often refer to it as the NVIDIA tax.
The NVIDIA tax.
Yeah, it's effectively a tax levied on the entire artificial intelligence industry. If you wanted to play the game, if you wanted to train a model, you had to pay the toll to Jensen Huang.
And this is where the friction starts for the other giants, right?
Yeah.
Companies like Google, Microsoft, Meta, these aren't companies that are used to paying a tax to anyone.
No, they are used to being the ones collecting the tax.
Exactly. So think about the logistics here. If you are Google or OpenAI and you need to train a massive model like Gemini Ultra, you don't just need one chip.
You need clusters. You need tens of thousands of them working in concert.
And when an H100 chip costs between $30,000 and $40,000 a pop,
The math gets ugly very quickly.
very quick.
It's a terrifying financial nightmare. But it's not just the money, it's the supply chain.
Right.
The lead times for these chips have been massive. You have these tech giants sitting on their hands waiting for NVIDIA to ship them the hardware they need to innovate.
So you're stuck waiting for your competitor to sell you the engine you need to race against them.
That's the perfect analogy. And by 2026, executives at Google reached a definitive conclusion. Hardware independence wasn't just a nice-to-have strategic choice anymore.
It was a prerequisite for survival.
Exactly. They couldn't keep buying their race car engines from their main rival.
Which brings us to the weapon. Because unlike Microsoft or Meta, who are scrambling to catch up on custom silicon right now, Google has actually been up to something in secret for a long time.
Over a decade.
Yeah.
While everyone else was lining up to buy NVIDIA GPUs, Google was iterating on its own proprietary hardware in the absolute secrecy of its labs. They call it the TPU.
The Tensor Processing Unit.
Right.
Okay, I want to drill down on this. We hear about GPUs all the time. That's NVIDIA's bread and butter. But what effectively is the difference between a GPU and this TPU thing? Why create a whole new category of chip?
It comes down to specialization. Think about what a GPU actually is. It stands for Graphics Processing Unit.
Right.
Originally, they were designed for video games. They were made to render pixels, handle shading, make your explosion look realistic in Call of Duty.
They handle geometry and light.
Exactly. Later, we realized they were brilliant for AI because the math required for AI is somewhat similar to the math required for 3D graphics, so NVIDIA repurposed them. But they are still general purpose. They are like a Swiss Army knife. Great at many things, flexible, adaptable.
But a Swiss Army knife isn't the best tool if you only need to do one specific cut over and over again.
Correct. Google's TPU is an ASIC, an application-specific integrated circuit. It is not a Swiss Army knife. It is a scalpel. It does one thing and one thing only.
And that one thing is?
Massive matrix multiplications.
Okay, massive matrix multiplication. That sounds incredibly complex. Break that down for us. What is actually happening on the chip?
It sounds scary, but it's just the mathematical operation that happens to be the beating heart of all neural networks and large language models.
Okay.
When you ask ChatGPT a question, under the hood, it is crunching giant grids of numbers, matrices. It's multiplying them together to predict the next word. That is all it is doing. It's just math on a massive scale.
So the TPU is designed to ignore everything else, graphics, video rendering, physics, and just crush those grids of numbers.
Exactly. The TPU doesn't know how to render a polygon. It can't run a video game. But it can run that specific linear algebra incredibly efficiently. And this leads to a really important concept in chip design called dark silicon.
Dark silicon? That sounds ominous.
It's actually just inefficient. Because NVIDIA's GPUs are general purpose, they have transistors on the chip dedicated to things that AI doesn't need, like specific graphics rendering instructions.
I see.
When you run an AI model on a GPU, those parts of the chip are just sitting there, unused. They are dark.
But they still take up space on the silicon.
They make up space, they draw a tiny bit of power, and the chip design still has to account for them. It's wasted real estate.
Right.
The TPU, specifically the newer generation, like the TPU V5P, cuts all that fat. There is no dark silicon. Every transistor is there for the mission.
So no wasted space.
None. That means less power, less heat, and most importantly, a vastly superior cost per FLOP, floating point operation, compared to NVIDIA.
So on paper, the TPU is lighter, faster for this specific task, and cheaper to run. Which begs the question I think everyone is asking right now.
Why hasn't everyone switched?
Exactly. If Google has had this better mousetrap for a decade, why is NVIDIA still the king?
That is the multi-billion dollar question. And the answer is a four-letter word, CUDA.
CUDA. We hear this acronym constantly in the source material.
CUDA stands for Compute Unified Device Architecture. But you don't really need to know the name. What you need to know is that it is NVIDIA's proprietary software platform.
Okay.
It's been around for 15 years, and it is the industry standard.
So it's like the operating system for the chips?
In a way. It's the language that developers use to talk to the chips. NVIDIA didn't just build good hardware. They built the software ecosystem that surrounds it. Most of the popular AI frameworks and libraries were written to run flawlessly on CUDA.
So it's a moat.
It is a deep alligator-filled moat. If I'm a startup and I've written my code on CUDA,
you're stuck.
You are locked in. We call it the golden prison. The hardware is great, the software works perfectly, but you can't leave.
Wow.
To leave NVIDIA and go to Google's TPU, you can't just plug in the new chip. You might have to rewrite months of foundational code.
Which costs money and time.
Exactly. You risk performance degradation. You risk encountering bugs that simply don't exist in the NVIDIA ecosystem because everyone has already fixed them there over the last decade.
That sounds miserable for a developer. You just want to build your app, not debug a new chip architecture.
It is a massive friction point. So Google's battle isn't just physical silicon. It's a psychological war. They have to convince engineers to break out of this golden prison and trust that the grass is actually greener on the other side.
And to do that, they seem to be using a strategy that hits where it hurts most, the wallet.
Always the wallet.
Let's talk about tokenomics.
Right, tokenomics. This is where we get into the economics of running an AI business. When you ask a chatbot a question, it generates an answer word by word or token by token. Every single one of those tokens costs money to generate.
Electricity, cooling, hardware wear and tear.
Exactly.
But it seems like a tiny cost per word, though, like fractions of a penny.
It is tiny. But when you are serving millions of users, like ChatGPT or Gemini does, saving a tenth of a cent per token translates to billions of dollars a year.
Billions. Okay, so efficiency at that scale isn't just about saving money. It's about business viability.
Everything hinges on it. And this is where Google has a technical edge that goes beyond just the chip itself. They have something called optical circuit switches.
Optical circuit switches? That sounds like something out of science fiction. How does that fit in?
It's Google's magic. for connecting thousands of chips together. You see, when you chain thousands of NVIDIA GPUs together to make a supercomputer, you get diminishing returns.
Why is that?
They slow down a bit because they have to talk to each other constantly, and that data travels over electrical wires.
Right. Resistance, heat, latency, the signal drags.
Exactly. Google took a different approach. They use light. Yeah. These optical circuit switches use tiny mirrors to bounce beams of light carrying data between the TPUs. They don't have to convert the signal to electricity and back again at the switch level.
So it's faster.
It's faster. But more importantly, it allows the system to scale beautifully. You can connect tens of thousands of chips, and they behave almost like one giant brain. And because you're using light, you can reconfigure the network layout on the fly just by tilting the mirrors.
That is wild. So they can run bigger models faster and cheaper.
Exactly. And that technical efficiency allows Google to attack NVIDIA with a scorched earth strategy.
I love that term, scorched earth. It sounds so aggressive for a tech company. But looking at their financials, they can afford to be aggressive.
Oh, yeah. They have cash reserves exceeding $100 billion. That is a war chest that very few companies in history have ever possessed.
And the key here, and this is what I found most interesting, is that Google isn't trying to sell the chips, right? You can't go to Best Buy and pick up a TPU for your gaming PC.
No. And that's the genius of it. NVIDIA and Intel are hardware vendors. They sell chips. They ship boxes. Google is a service provider. They're selling the cloud. They're selling the Google Cloud Platform, or GCP.
So what is the pitch to a startup? If I'm a new AI company, what is Google telling me?
The pitch is basically, why are you taking millions of your precious venture capital money and handing it to NVIDIA to buy physical servers that will be obsolete in 2 years? Don't do that. Keep your cash. Come to our cloud.
Wow.
We will give you the tools to translate your code, and we will rent you our TPUs at heavily subsidized, dirt-cheap prices.
Subsidized.
Heavily. Google's willing to lose billions in the short term. They will bleed money now to undercut NVIDIA on price.
Yeah.
They want to addict these startups to the Google ecosystem. Once you're in and you're enjoying those cheap tokens, you aren't leaving.
It's the classic loss leader strategy, but on a $100 billion scale.
Precisely. And it's shaking the entire industry.
But Google isn't fighting this alone. In the sources, there was a lot of talk about an open source rebellion. It sounds like there are other forces at play here helping Google, maybe even unintentionally.
Oh, absolutely. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? The global open source community is exhausted by NVIDIA's monopoly. They are tired of the tax. So you have these massive projects popping up to build bridges out of the prison.
Like PyTorch 2.0.
Yes. PyTorch is the most popular software framework for building AI, and it's backed by Meta, Force Facebook. And PyTorch 2.0 has made fundamental changes to its compiler, the translation layer, to be less dependent on specific hardware.
Making it easier to swap out the engine without breaking the car.
Exactly. And there was another one mentioned, OpenAI Triton.
Right, Triton.
This is a big one. Triton is a language developed by OpenAI. It allows code to run on various hardware, including AMD chips and potentially TPUs, without ever touching CUDA.
Oh, wow.
It's a universal translator. It bypasses NVIDIA's moat entirely.
So Meta and OpenAI are effectively helping Google fill in NVIDIA's moat just so they can have more options themselves.
Exactly. They don't necessarily love Google.
Yeah.
But they need alternatives to NVIDIA. And this brings us to the collateral damage. Because this isn't just a duel between two companies. There are bystanders getting hit by the shrapnel.
Who are we talking about here?
Well, look at AMD. They're trying to compete with NVIDIA with their MI300 chips. They are a traditional chip maker. But they lack the software ecosystem. And if Google drives the price of compute down to near zero via subsidies, how does AMD compete?
They can't. They have to sell chips to make money. They can't just rent them out at a loss like Google can.
Exactly. They don't have the cloud platform to subsidize the hardware. And then you have Amazon and Microsoft. They're also building their own custom silicon, chips like Maya and Trainium.
Right.
Why? Because they can't compete on price if they keep buying expensive NVIDIA chips while Google is over there subsidizing TPUs. It has triggered a frantic arms race to build in-house silicon everywhere.
It's a total chaotic free-for-all. It feels like the entire industry is pivoting at the exact same time. But let's get to the verdict. We've laid out the landscape, the weapon, and the strategy. Who wins this thing? Does NVIDIA crumble?
If we look at the reality, will NVIDIA be destroyed? No.
Really? Even with $100 billion against them?
NVIDIA is an incredibly innovative company. Jensen Huang is not sleeping at the wheel. They're innovating fast, and that CUDMA moat is still very, very deep. It takes a long time to drain a moat that size. Plus, the demand for AI is so high that NVIDIA can sell every chip they make for the foreseeable future.
So what is Google's actual goal then, if not total destruction?
The goal is to break the monopoly power. They want to shift the market dynamic. Right now, it's NVIDIA versus nobody.
Right.
Google wants it to be NVIDIA versus the Google ecosystem.
They just need a slice of the pie.
A significant slice. If they can migrate 20 or 30% of the market onto TPU infrastructure, that is a massive victory. It changes the pricing power of the entire industry. It forces NVIDIA to compete on price, which they haven't had to do in years.
And who are the real winners in that scenario? If these two giants beat each other up and drop prices, who benefits?
You and I. And the developers. The startups.
Yeah.
The independent creators. The gaming industry.
But gaming industry. Connect that for me. How does an AI chip war help video games?
Think about it. A monopoly guarantees high prices. High prices stifle innovation because you can't afford to experiment. But a price war. A price war means cheaper compute.
Right.
There was a mention in our research of Google's Genie project. Imagine an indie game studio. They want to build a game where the entire world, every texture, every interaction is generated on the fly by AI. Not pre-rendered, but dreamed up by the computer in real time.
That would require an insane amount of processing power.
At NVIDIA's current prices, it's economically impossible. You go bankrupt in a week trying to pay for the tokens. But if Google and NVIDIA get into a price war and compute becomes dirt cheap, suddenly that dream becomes viable.
So the war at the top unlocks creativity at the bottom.
Exactly. When the giants fight, the little guys get cheap resources.
That is a fascinating way to look at it. So let's recap this deep dive. We've got three main fronts here.
First, the silicon. The efficiency battle between the general-purpose GPU and the specialized TPU. Google has the edge on pure efficiency, no dark silicon, and better scaling with light-based switching.
Second, the software. The battle to break the golden prison of CUDA. Google is using open-source allies like PyTorch and Triton to try and bridge that moat and make the hardware invisible to the coder.
And third, the bank. Google's willingness to burn through a $100 billion war chest to subsidize the cloud and undercut NVIDIA's pricing power.
It is a high-stakes game of poker, but played with server farms instead of chips.
And the pot is the future of artificial intelligence.
Before we sign off, I want to leave you, the listener, with a thought. We talked about the price war. We talked about things getting cheaper. I want you to really think about the implications of that.
It's the Jevons paradox, isn't it?
Yeah. The economic theory that says as technology becomes more efficient and cheaper, we don't use less of it. We use vastly more of it.
Exactly. When electricity became cheap, we didn't just light our homes for fewer hours. We lit up entire cities all night long.
If compute becomes dirt cheap next year because these two giants are fighting, what kind of AI applications, things that are currently way too expensive to even exist, will suddenly appear in our daily lives? We aren't just talking about better chatbots. We're talking about things we haven't even imagined yet because the cost barrier was too high. That wall is about to come down.
It's going to be a very exciting year for anyone building the future.
It certainly is. Thanks for diving deep with us today on Silicon Warfare. We'll catch you in the next one.